August 11, 2007, it's a Watt from Pedro show. It's
Showtime.
Showtime, August 11th. I'm in Pedro for a couple days. I just got back from another leg of Stooges touring Wednesday night. And I got to leave again Tuesday morning. Flight's at 6 a.m. So that means Melinda will take me 3 in the morning, my sister. Yeah, you got to watch putting shit in that table because it's coming through the microphone.
Rumbling.
Oh, that's the cue for my guests. Pete.
Hi.
Talia.
Welcome.
Hi.
And Sean's coming, but she's puking. Food poisoning. Sorry to hear that. But it's great she's going to come by anyway. So I think she's bringing Hawaiian records.
Cool.
We will finally, girls will outnumber boys.
I think it's the first time we had more than one woman on this show at a time.
Excellent.
So, it's a groundbreaking
new
show.
New trend.
We started off with John Coltrane Configuration, and then we played Kimi no Naka, Boku no Naka, Yumin Naka, which means in me, in you, a dream, by Migu. See, when you do that shit, it comes over my crest. So sit there. So how was Pedro when I was gone, Brother Matt?
It's been they had Sunday concerts with the same bands.
Yeah.
They did have a cool one at the Wigwam a couple Sundays ago. I saw Vinny over there. San Pedro Slim was jamming some blues. That was cool.
Oh, wow.
That was fun. Wigwam should rock way more often.
Yeah,
it reminds me of D. Boone's saying every neighborhood should have a club.
Right.
Yeah, I like having a club right in the neighborhood.
Right, that's the Red Band.
Yeah. Lodge.
The Betterment or something.
It goes back to Boston Tea Party or something like that.
Yeah, when Indians weren't allowed to join.
Yeah. And they dressed up like Indians.
But it's the... I always wondered about that lodge place. The first time the Minutemen took a picture was in front of that thing. For No Magazine. And Vincent Thomas was one of the founded members of the Pedro Lodge.
I used to wash his windows.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tomasich, really. Shortened his name. You know that.
Yeah.
I think he was our assemblyman for like 35
years.
People
always say St. Vincent Thomas Bridge, but he was not a saint.
No.
He was an assemblyman.
big difference. And then we had a councilman, Gibson, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a long time. There was two guys.
Yeah, so he got a street.
When I was young.
The other guy got a bridge.
Two guys all the time. But Vinny told me they're scissoring gigs at Harold's. And they're going to try to move it over to Godmother's over on 7th Street. So, Todd, too, was telling me from Recess Records there's been some burn ward action. And for the kids, they come out from out of town, especially. It's kind of like, so. This used to happen in the old days, too. You know, couldn't play rock and roll clubs, so you'd find a bar that needed
some action.
Yeah. Drinking it, and they'd go, whoa, because the punk thing, people had their own scene, and they, all of a sudden, they don't have the same eight guys falling asleep on the bar.
So 13th Street's not happening anymore?
But, yeah, those ladies had to move out. Yeah. So what happens is, after a few successful nights, the bar owner goes, oh, I can cut out these guys, the middleman, the guy who brought
Bogart.
In the stuff. Right, and this is what's Busted happening up. Over here. 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up. You know? Getting greedy on that. So, Peek, you brought some music here.
Yeah.
Who is Habitat Sound System?
It's a project by this guy, Preston, in San Diego. A friend of a friend. And I just come upon it last night. So I got the CDs and listened to a few songs, and I picked number five.
You picked number five.
Oh, I know.
No, it's all right.
I'm not
all right, welcome to Peter.
lot. Deep in the 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 lot. Aulani, siya hambama. Aulani, siya hambama. Aulani, lele reke kai maravina. Aulani, siya hambama. Aulani, siya hambama. Aulani, lele reke kai maravina. Ipinila. 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 Oza hambanam, venta gritu, ungi bonize, yonki lila, yonki lila e, ululetu. Oza hambanam, venta gritu, ungi bonize, yonki lila, yonki lila e, ululetu. Idio, idio, ipi lila, idio, idio. Yo, mama, ipinila. Yo, mama, ipinila. Haibo! Haibo!
Watt from Pedro Show. We started that off with the song Peak Picked. Abulafia Dub by Habitat Sound System. Now, you wanted to say something?
Just the one that say his full name, Preston Swinoff, the multi-instrumentalist, which is kind of a theme.
What's him on the whole record?
He collaborated with different people on the album. I don't have the information in front of me, but there's like a dub scene going on in San Diego, and I'm tapping into that, and it's quite amazing that all this, as I said, a multi-instrumentalist. He himself plays the trumpet and keyboards and and produce all this record. So
there you go.
An amazing character. I've heard a lot of his reputation.
Yeah, when we did the show last, didn't you take a bus? No, it was after the gig. Where I wore the djembe in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Didn't you take a bus to San Diego?
Train, maybe?
Us you were taking a bus.
Yeah. Well,
you were leaving from that gig to take a bus.
That's right.
2 a.m. or something.
That's right. You remember that? Oh goodness.
It was only a month ago. Did you go to see check out the dub scene?
Yeah, there's like different things going on in San Diego. That
I'm
maybe
gonna play
there
at the end of September for the Adams Street Avenue Street Festival.
I'm sure it's been there for a while, but I just kind of found out about all these things going on there.
A great man once said, "The only thing new is you finding out about it." Brother Matt, making sure there's something
here. That's my case, yes.
So after that, we played a song that Taya picked.
Harry Belafonte
with a song called Show Me the Way, My Brother. And you might have played that on a very old Watt from Pedro
show,
huh?
Yeah, I think a long time ago. Because
Taya was in the beginning once.
Yeah, OG. Yeah.
Remember? And then she dropped off.
Yeah.
From the neighborhood crew. Uh-huh.
She used to live right by.
Right down the street.
Now she's still in Pedro, but the north part.
Yeah.
What's it called? Black Hill?
Black Hill. Yeah.
I like that. I live in Black Hill.
Yeah. But now you come back.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
And we haven't played vinyl in a while.
Yeah, it's been a long while.
So that was a trip.
Yeah, there's only one turntable, so I'll have to be creative.
So, that's right, Brother Matt. In the old days,
there's
we used
another
to have
one
two.
In the closet.
Remember there was those things that held the records? Brother Matt had them things?
Oh, yes, I remember.
I remember.
You don't remember?
They were brass.
Oh.
They were plastic or rubber. Were real.
For stress, yeah.
So like the pictures we took?
Yeah, there was always, it looked like, there's a picture, it looks like I'm tweaking the nipple.
So.
That kind of sounds wrong, but I'll let it slide.
They ain't here anymore. What happened?
Yeah, they're still around.
I think they're still
around.
Mixer.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah, they're still around.
Where are they?
There's some in that box. Those are different ones, though.
Oh, okay.
Bring them out.
Now, then we played Backward Champ by this guy, Shigeki Nishimura. Now, I met this man in the early 90s, he was road managing a band called Bloodthirsty Butchers from Japan. And they were playing, remember that club, Jabberjaw?
Yeah.
Was on Pico.
The coffee type joint.
Cape Town?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of a coffee. Kind of. It was just like a storefront. I played there a few times. I think Madonna Beats played there. Doze played there. Really, sound was like, because there was nothing to baffle the sound on the walls, but there was a lot of good gigs there. There was a scene around it for a while.
It's like a Beck spot where he was coming out.
He was playing there then, huh? And so, anyway, I was in Tokyo a couple weeks ago, and you know what an izakaya is? It's their kind of bar. traditional bar where they bring you in a room. Your group of folks goes into a little room and you sit on the deck on these pillows with a little table. And he was there. And he's older. And he gave me a bunch of records and talked about old days. And there was a cat there from Fresno named Mike, who's lived there 14 years. He's got a club called Super Deluxe. And sort of like Jim O'Rourke, these guys, they went there and they just... Well, Jim always wanted to live there. But like, yeah, they fall in love with the town, the country.
Fresno?
I'm sorry. Wanted to get out of Fresno.
I'm sorry.
Fresno.
Just kidding.
It tells you about the movie. There goes the peak voice. Boomy.
Yeah, Fresno rocks.
So he's from there. And now he lives in Tokyo. And that's the place he really does. And it was very interesting. It's hard to get visas. Jim's doing this dance. Mike did a few years with the corporation, so it's a lot easier if you got some.
Yeah, my friend Bill Sullivan just got his residency status. He's been there like 12 years now or something.
Took a while, huh?
Yeah.
It's called Gaijin. You ever hear this
one? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think it's from the old word for spy or something, but use it for foreigner.
Yeah. American specifically, I'm sure.
No, everybody's was very nice. I had a good time. I got to record with a few people there. One was this band called Migu that we played earlier. And a couple songs. One was with the Bottleneck. The guy played like blues.
Wow.
But he had a... He sent me a movie. You know, most people give me a tape of this. He sent me a little movie of them playing it. And the rhythm sounded like a Native American Indian. So I kind of wrote a bass part to that. And I'll tell you about these folks, man. They can really, really play. But, you know, usually when people get like that, they're very difficult to be around because they want to keep reminding you how good they are. The mentality over there is way different because of that polite thing. They're really humble. So even though they can play like motherfuckers, they don't try cutting you. So it's really intense.
A respectful thing, yeah.
So they let me come in, put this bend on it, and then the next day we did a song that was really difficult. It was in 7/4 time. And like with these Sonic Youth, probably chords Sonic Youth don't realize they play all these suspended and diminished things. I just could not get the beat. The last time I played 7 was for a Balkan. You know, they use it in gypsy music and Balkan music. And that I kept having to, you know, tell myself, taco, taco, burrito, taco, taco. You know, we're used to 4s, 2s. I can do 3s good, but 7s. 5s are tough, but 7s. So the drummer beat the beat out on my back, and I could get it just like that. And you know, I've recorded with click tracks, and usually that's competing. I mean, you got to hear your bass, you got to hear the song, and then there's this dow, 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 just hammering in your ear, and it's really fucked. It's lame. So, you know, feeling it. I mean, you could actually feel it. I could use my ears for the music and just feel the beat, and it came just like that.
Cool.
So I've been thinking of an invention that everybody can steal because I'm going to tell you about it. But where it would pulse on you. I don't know what would actuate a pulse on you.
Yeah, it's like that DJ movie, Peter Tong, when the DJ went deaf. He was like this world-famous DJ. But then he figured out how to still DJ, even though he was deaf, by using the sound waves and putting the speakers under his feet so he could be feeling the thumps.
Wow.
So maybe that's what you need, just some big-ass woofers. Yeah. I know there's a drum seat that has a speaker in it. So drummers, because they like to hear their kick drum, that's the thing that really gets lost on stage. So Perkins was telling me about a drum. Well, a drum seat's called a throne. So a throne with a big old speaker in it, in the bottom of it, and it just pumps it in there because low end isn't really heard as much as it's felt. That's why you'll see a lot of these satellite systems, the high end and mid range will be little speakers, and then the woofer will be a big box, and it can go anywhere because it's not directional. It's a thing that just fills up.
39.
That was 59. It was so good. So I got the song, man, and I was really relieved because I thought, you know, well, what was a trip? I come over there, and the man, Mr. Shim, had gotten the Japanese version of We Jam Econo with subtitles. They can write, kind of, but it was hard in conversation with the language a little bit. So, but this DVD was subtitled, so he could watch this whole thing. And you know what? I let Keith and Tim put those things out. I mean, the main idea was so D. Boone could play for people because he can't do gigs. And the other thing I thought, God, if young people saw that we made a band, anybody would be. Or older people, whoever, just people. I never, because you know, when punk in old days, most people who could play really hated it. You know, they had this whole trip on these guys can't play, they're lame and shit like this. And nowadays, I'm finding these people can really play, pick up on our old days, which is amazing. I mean, obviously there was a mind shift or something.
Get the spirit of doing it, as opposed to just
going
out
and
doing
it. Yeah, they know how to play, like, but they pick up on something about our scene that was lost on people who could play in those days. So I have to. These are usually younger people, you know, that maybe learned how to play in the 90s and stuff and come of age now or whatever. But to be so open-minded, it's a whole other dimension of that We Jam Econo, you know, music thing. I never really thought, except for D. Boone, you know, playing, he was doing music. But, I mean, we're out of tune, we're hollering It's weird that you have music people. It's not weird, but it's very kind of them. Yeah, but it's something I never expected, really. And so he was he watched that whole thing before I came. He said in weird ways there's parallels in our young story in his life. And we're on the other side of the world. It was weird how I got there this time. I usually have to come across Pacific, you know, in the day line. Because we were coming from France, we flew over Russia and China. That was different. You know, when you're looking at the little map thing. Probably couldn't do that a little while ago. You know what I mean? Those were open skies. It's like 12 hours, 13 hours. I found this really funny whodunit book from the 20s, and I played in this place, Norway, called Tromsø, and it's on the 68th, almost the 69th parallel. So it's the most north I've ever been. It's got the most north university. They have a polar museum, which was kind of neat, kind of brutal too in a way, you know, clubbing the baby seals.
Any aurora borealis?
No, because it's summer. But they hang there all the time, yeah, if it would have been dark. In fact, the sun never went down. We played at 12:31 or something. Still light. They had these polar bear traps. They were big wood boxes with a bait, and then there's a gun thing, blow the bear's head off. And they had this problem with killing mother bears, and then the cubs have nothing. I don't know if they still do that. I think polar bears are kind of running short. But it was an interesting guy, a cat there named Tor, showed me around, and he's half Inuit. You don't say Eskimo, because
So like calling them Indians?
It's like it means somebody who eats raw meat, who doesn't boil the meat. So it's not really a word for the people. It's more like Inuit. You know, somehow that one word got used to call Yeah, Indians aren't from India.
Yeah.
Unless they are, then they, I guess they are.
Yeah, dots are feathers.
Kind of like Sioux tribe.
Lakota.
Means, yeah, it means the enemy, yeah.
Sioux is like cutthroat or something.
Yeah.
French gave them that name to make them more fierce, but they never called themselves that.
Yeah.
They were Lakota or something. Yeah, so this happens. Even with the laps. Lap is like a patch. So it means like hobo looking people. So they're called Suomi. That's what they like to be called. If you're a foreigner, they don't have a problem because you don't know. But if you live up there and you call them Lap, then it's kind of a heavy thing. So you learn stuff like this, you know, by going there. It was a trip. If it would have been winter time, auroras. But it was on an island, south end of an island, where the next island over is where the Tirpitz was laying. Some Nazi battleship that Ronnie was kind of interested. You couldn't see her. She's under the water. But she had rolled over and sank. So there was some history there. The things about the expeditions, Norway was kind of late in coming. It was the Dutch who was really first up in the Arctic. You know, the Arctic's back in the news because of this global warming. The Russians put a flag.
Oh, yeah, underwater.
Parts, yeah, but you couldn't get to before. But the Norwegians were late on the scene, and this is something I didn't realize, because the Black Plague hit them really hard. It almost depopulated the whole country. They had to rebuild the whole country after the plague. A couple hundred years, just starting in the late 1300s. And it's actually Dutch guys who had to make this hell ride to Indonesia, you know, and go through a lot of competition. They thought there was a way. In fact, there was some theories that there was actually a hole between the north and the south poles, and you found this
hole. The big hollow end.
Find this passage and do the big shortcut. So that's what they were looking for.
Like the garage door for aliens.
It's not until the 20s that they actually fly over the North Pole. Because it's not a landmass. They knew there was something around it because of and there was currents and stuff because of Siberian timber they would find in different parts. Mm. They knew there was some kind of circular currents. But it was really slow in coming, the discovery of a lot of that stuff there. So that was enlightening for me.
So you have little stuffed club seals you could buy for souvenirs?
See, they got to get them young, too, because the pelts are only white for a couple months. And so,
perfect.
Yeah,
know what that is?
Yeah, I got one.
No.
Clubbed them myself.
They're talking about they'd be three-man teams, and most of them, the most experienced would be the rower, and then the next guy would be the scouter, and the young guy would be the actual clubber, because they would be all laughing at him sliding and slipping. Some of this stuff. Always three man. Even when they did the little pads, they build these little pads and do the 1 year, you know, see what they can catch. Bear traps, you know, like
big chompers.
Jeez. I'm talking like 3-4 foot diameter. And always threes, because the guy is like, if it comes down to two, it becomes the married couple.
Oh, no.
And everything becomes the huge problem. So you have the third guy, Lucky Pierre.
The diffuser.
But, you know, when they go crazy, some guys couldn't handle it, and they just take walks out into the snow and die, and then you're down to the married couple. I kept saying this, the married couple. Like the doom. Oh yeah, there was this other recording I did in Tokyo was with Power Book. I played bass to sound, you know, and we're going to play something from this lady here.
Like an MRI.
This guy, get this, this kid, he was a younger guy. He knew this cat I knew 20 years ago, 25 years ago that did music. He was just a kid then for me and D. Boone's label. And this guy, Brad Lehner, he had a band called Dead of Nature. And, in fact, I saw Brad at South by Southeast sitting next to me on an airplane.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I hadn't seen him for years. And this cat that was with Kyoka helping him. There's a lot of I guess one of the gigs you can get is teaching English. They really want to learn English. And to do it, you got to really talk with people. You can't really do the Berlitz book method. You know, you need it. So they take young people just to speak. So there's folks going over there. And I was playing to the computer sounds and stuff. Some of it, there was some singing too and stuff, but it was an unusual session for me. So anyway, we'll play some of that right now. Watt from Pedro show. Fuck, somebody's typing on the typewriter that next to. You couldn't hear it, it was on the cue thing. We just heard The Sky Below by Languis and for Chaloka. Mm-hmm. Taya, you picked that?
Yeah. I think they're from LA.
Yeah.
An organization called Dub Lab.
Dub Lab?
Yeah. It's
Silver good. Lake?
Yeah.
And before that, we heard The Pancakes by Jane and Jenny. And we started with UK Sleepy by Kyoka. And we're at the end of the first hour of Watt from Pedro show, August 11, 2007. Hold tight for hour two. August 11, 2007. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
Crossed my side, I wouldn't know you.
Watt from Pedro show. You probably have to turn that down, Brother Matt. Sean joined us. Recovered enough from her poisoning.
Yep.
So what's that about?
You know, you're not supposed to eat rat poison, and I did. Apparently, without knowing it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, not really.
That was bullshit.
It was bullshit. Capital B.
Then why are you sick?
Why am I... I'm not sick. I just ended up between 7 and 11 this morning. For some reason... puking a few times, out of the blue. I think stress, food poisoning, something, but it's gone, and I'm here, and I'm happy.
Okay.
Thank you.
And she brought beer.
And I brought beer and flowers.
Okay, and some music, too, and that we'll listen to a little bit. But we started the second hour off with something Pete brought called Ant Farm by Team Scrub. What's that about, Pete?
I'm friend with this group of people, a different combination of people make up into different bands, and this particular band is a trio made up of Matt, a multi-instrumentalist, Brad, and Chris, and they had a CD release party last night in downtown LA, and Team Scrub finally released a CD, so that's what I brought.
All right. Then we heard, somebody gave me this CD on tour. It's called, the band's called Born Again in the USA, which is the best name ever. And that was called Answers to Your Questions. And then we just heard Strawberry by Ashray. And Ashray has got the husband and wife, Amigu, who I recorded with in Tokyo. And I think Mr. Nago, too, who was, I took his place, because he's usually the bass player. So, oh, I got to play fuzz bass. Mr. Shimmy makes his own fuzz boxes and cables.
Oh, that guy.
Power supplies, the whole deal. He's very into music, man. They made a studio into their pad. Now, their pads are really little. Big bucks for tiny pads. You would not believe the sizes. And this, their studio is like your head. Yeah, literally. We're in this little thing. But such great sounds. I mean, because this guy is just consummate. But like I said, real humble. That's not anal precious shit. You know, so it's kind of a good thing. They're really dedicated to the craft, but then being open-minded and not all superior, which...
Sharon.
Yeah, is righteous. Sharon, yeah, in fact, now it's time to share the Watt from Pedro show airtime with you, Brother Matt, for your spin cycle.
Cool. All right.
Take it away.
on it, drip drop, drip drop sound. Thick, thick on it, drip drop. It's the sound. Wait, it's thick on it, drip drop, drip drop sound. Wait, it's thick on it, drip drop. It'll wait, drop on it, drip drop, drip drop sound. Thick, drip drop, it's the sound. Wait, it's thick on it, drip drop, drip drop on it. Wait, it's thick on it, drip drop. It's the sound. The wait, it's thick on it, drip drop, drip drop sound. Thick, thick on it, drip drop. It's the sound. Wait, it's thick on it, drip drop, drip drop sound. Wait, it's thick on it, drip drop, drop.
Thank you, brother Matt.
Cool. Thank you.
For some spin cyclage, and now here's something Sean brought. Sakura Sakura from what's that record? It's from Hawaii, right?
Yes, Jack DeMello, Where to Go. Music from the Land of the Rising Sun.
Yeah. And I guess these cats got a classical orchestra together to do some music from over there. Now Sakura is the cherry blossom thing over there, which is a big dealio. I was in Washington D.C. playing with the Stooges this year, and I was there on the peak day. And you know, the East Coast can be like this, where it's not a cloud in the sky and sunny, but still freezing. And that's how it was. Here, if there's no cloud in the sky and it's sunny, it's going to be warm. It's not like that over there. When I was in Philly, I mean, it was in the teens. I take the glove off to try to take a picture, almost get frostbite. It's fucked up. Well, it's not fucked up, it's just way more.
Just cold.
And maybe we're spoiled here, huh? I mean, here it's gray, and it's still warm. You know, so that thing is a trip.
You don't have to suffer too much.
But then in the summer, they get the big sweltered schwitz going, so they got the best of both worlds, maybe. Wow. Yeah,
57.
Got a little more time.
Loser sleep.
I was going to play. I found a CD from Brad Laynard, that cat that I hadn't met in years, and then ended up on the airplane next to him. And that was a trip. He's got a family now, and he plays acoustic guitar music. But in those days, he had a band called Dead of Nature. And I was telling everyone about this song he did where he just beat on the stage. They were called Turds from Space for this gig. And Alter Egos. And he's beating on the stage, or he had somebody with a 2x4. And the lady who owned Anti-Club was named Helen. And she hollered, you know, what are you doing, you crazy nut? People trying to sleep here. So he sampled that and looped it. So that was the nature of that piece. And now he's a... God, I remember he had his brother had a band, too, and he's like 12. I can't remember what his name was. What the name of that band was, but we put them out. We had these compilations called Feeble Efforts and Mighty Feeble, and they were on Fluid. Maybe it was called Fluid. Not the band, the Fluid, but... And it, I guess his brother... I don't know, he does something straight now and stuff. It's trippy how people turn out. You know, you're so in the moment, you never think about the future. Oh, what's this flower going to blossom in?
Mm-hmm. Is seed going to sprout?
Yeah, it's going to sprout into it. Right? And then, it's funny because when people see me from the old days that I knew in the old days, they always say, I knew you were going to be like this.
Like, what?
What?
Like, yeah, what? Right.
You know, I never get the surprise.
The three-piece suit.
I saw a cat. What was that gig at the... at Harold's a couple months ago, and I hadn't seen this guy for many years, 30 years. And yeah, he wanted to play archery with me and shoot arrows with me and shit, and I never heard from him. And I didn't even see him at the end of the gig. I think he ran out after he started hearing the music. Because a lot of those people, that's a bad way to put it, but people from those times didn't like the music then. It didn't like grow on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Had to wait for the paradigm shift and then the younger generation being into it.
Yeah, they're still going to 80s nights.
Yeah, right. Maybe. That was me that it came to say hi. They want, you know, why do people know about you? Why are you in the paper? You know? Like this kind of. And then they find out, it's like, oh my God. But like Popeye said, I am what I am. You there?
Yeah, we're there.
Okay, that's the second hour of the Walk from Pedro show, August 11, 2007. Hang tight for hour three. August 11, 2007. It's the third hour of the Walk from Pedro show. Here's part five of Jack Flanders and Tropical Hot Dog Night.
Claudine?
Yes?
Are you going back to Quimalagra?
Of course. That is what I am here for.
Yeah, but are you sure that's wise?
Maybe not.
Well, the thing is, this time, you know, we'll have to stay.
Then that is what we will do.
And what if you start to become transparent?
I don't think that will happen.
Are you sure?
Don't worry about me. It is you I am concerned about.
Me?
You need to exercise.
I hate exercise.
Every morning, Mojo does Tai Chi. Why don't you join him?
Oh, God, I can't wake up and do that.
Why not?
I like to start the day with a nice cup of cappuccino.
Dominic does Tai Chi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jack, you are so lazy.
Look, it's too difficult.
No, it is not.
I tried Tai Chi once. I kept losing my balance.
Why?
Well, I was trying not to spill my cappuccino.
Oh, you are so bad, Jack.
Bad Jack. I like that.
Oh, get out. Go do something. Out, you lazy bum.
Lazy bum. I like that, too.
Have you found anything?
Shh. Oh, sorry.
There's not a lot of information on Quimalagra. See, it says here, in the 1700s, slave traders stopped there. There was a garrison where they'd keep the slaves and then auction them to plantation owners on other islands.
Slave traders?
Do you think Mojo may have felt that?
He saw colors in the fog. I don't see how there is a connection.
Yeah, but you said he felt pain.
I don't remember saying that.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm confusing it with Claudine.
The two of them felt something very strongly. Claudine became ill, and Mojo became a little frightened, I think.
Well, I've been looking for articles in the newspapers, and it appears a change on Kimalargo was first mentioned about 2 years ago.
What was it?
Pretty much what you've already told me. People would go and visit and then stay.
Something strange is happening there. Did they say nothing about that?
Yeah, they did, but it's mainly snide comments, taking swipes at those who leave and don't return. It's essentially gossip.
That's all?
No, the gossip starts getting nasty and juicy. There are rumors about strange rites being performed about cults and sacrifices.
Human sacrifices?
All kinds. Human, animal, vegetable.
Vegetable sacrifices?
Okay, so I made that one up, but certainly devil worship. I mean, that tops the list.
And that is when Kimalago became Ki Diablo?
Apparently. And then the people here just erected a wall.
Where is this wall?
A mental wall between the two islands.
So it is heresy to speak of Kimalago?
Well, there's a lot of pain associated with that island, because, as your friend told you, they have relatives and sweethearts that have gone there and then never came back.
Were they too frightened to go after them? To bring them back?
See, that I don't know. You should ask your friend. What was her name?
Amanda. Amanda Wolf. She's gone. She left.
Who?
I told her everyone is happier there, and so she went.
Who are you talking about?
Amanda Wolf.
She left for Ki Diablo?
Yesterday.
Look, you said she was bored. I don't think she'll be bored anymore.
Ah, Rose, did you find anything?
I did find something. It happened right around the time when things started to change on Ki Milagro.
Here, take my seat.
Oh, thanks. I've been sitting in that library all day, with no air conditioning. Oof.
You said something happened.
Yeah, 3 years ago. A hurricane passed through, and the only island that was hit hard was Ki Milagro.
It did not touch this island?
It did, but nothing like the damage that was done to Ki Milagro. It flattened the town.
I don't understand. The town looks as though it has been there for a long time.
Yeah, it was rebuilt to appear that way.
Rebuilt?
Mm-hmm.
That must have cost a bundle.
You mean it is like a theme park?
No, but apparently it was rebuilt to attract tourists.
Everywhere they want to attract tourists. The whole world is becoming a tourist attraction.
They'll be dropping in from Mars.
Well, maybe they already have.
What was that?
Oh, just a little joke.
Who financed rebuilding Ki Milagro?
Couldn't trace down any one individual. The internet connection here is impossible. But the name of the company was Dreamland LTD.
Dreamland Limited.
Now, that's an interesting name for a company.
Where are they located?
Couldn't find it. The internet here is so slow, it's painful.
Yeah, I'm afraid that doesn't tell us what's happening on Ki Milagro.
Jack and I are ready to return. Who else will come with us?
I want to go. I can't wait.
Count me in.
Rose?
Oh, definitely.
Well then, we'll sail tomorrow.
And will we stay there overnight, yes?
Yes, we will.
Ah, that's the time when things get hopping.
Well, let's all get some sleep. I doubt we'll get any tomorrow night. Claudine, are you sure you can handle this?
No, but I will.
We can do this without you.
You don't know who I am, do you?
Well, I am trying.
I'm not helping, am I?
I don't know anything about your past. Where you're from...
Montreal.
Yes, but which Montreal? There is another city within that city.
I am from the Montreal that you've seen.
Claudine, I've seen them both.
My past is not who I am now.
I'm not so sure about that.
What are you implying?
When I first saw you, in the old city, I could see right through you, as though you had just stepped in from the other side. And something similar happened on Ki Milagro.
Jack, one of the reasons I found you attractive was because you have a sense of the mystical. You have experienced other realities. You also realize that your mind will never know the real truth. You once said to me, to know the real truth is to know the mind of God. And our minds are too small. Only your heart can get a glimpse of God. And that is when I fell in love with you.
Claudine, why do I have the feeling you're evading my question?
Which question?
Why are we here?
On this planet?
Oh, no. I'm asking, why are we here?
To help. if help is needed.
I think that you want to find out whether the monster, if there actually is one, came from the other side.
Good night.
So you'll never tell me why we're really here, will you?
Quand tu apprendras à parler en français, je te le dirai.
Did you just say, if I ever learn French, you'll tell me?
Mm-hmm.
That may take years.
Good night.
Dreadlocks!
Brutal. Oh, oh, oh. World is brutal, man.
Dreadlocks, even aware.
Watt from Pedro show. That was something you picked, Pete.
Yes.
It was called Strange Rhetoric by El Poeta.
That's right.
Yeah. And more dub.
He's
your current vein of music is dub.
Well, this is the anchor of the San Diego hookup that I've been experiencing. El Poeta is a multi-instrumentalist. This is a theme for me today. He's an electronic musician, composer, graphic designer, person who have...
Not a dancer.
Not a dancer. However, I have a complete and total crush on. And so he's San Diego /
Tijuana. So we gotta get him into that then.
Get him a little
juice. What? No, a call. Oh. Just a call. Pete's what? From Thailand. John, you're from Hawaii?
Yes, born, raised here.
Right?
Yep.
Talia, Mexico?
Yeah, I was born in Mexico, but raised here in Pedro.
What town?
San Pedro. Oh, Ensenada.
Mm-hmm. We heard... this man called Boston Chinks. You know that old book I'm reading? The guy calls. There's Chinamen in that book, and the guy calls him Chink. You know, I guess in the 20s it was all right.
That was okay. Yeah.
Hey, Chink. That's what he says when he sees a guy on the street. And I'm like, no. But the song was called Coltrane, so I was interested, but couldn't really tell what they were singing. I mean, hopefully it was John Coltrane. His birthday comes up. September 23rd. He died on the same day Ronnie was born, Ron Ashton. August 17th. And before that, we heard something you played, picked. Well, it wasn't something you picked because that one kept skipping, so we had to go to Hawaiian War Chant.
Which was not.
It didn't sound so much like War Chant. Like trippy, what do they call it? Slack key guitar?
Yeah, he's cheap.
That was by Harry Kapuni and his Royal Polynesians. And what do they call the most of the people that live there? Hollies?
No. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm talking about nowadays.
Now, well, Hawaii is foreigner.
Right. And there's only like 8% Hawaiian or something.
Well, there's actually a census that's taking place right now. They want to register anybody who is Hawaiian. The last number that I heard as far as true, pure Hawaiian, there were 200 people alive still about 10 years ago.
And, I could be completely wrong, but there was
200 out of the whole island.
Pure Hawaiian, no, throughout the world.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
But I was talking about on Hawaii.
Right. I don't know.
Somebody told me it was 8% or something. And because the measles were devastating on them.
Well, gonorrhea.
And that, yeah.
When the missionaries came over.
The foreign things.
Yeah. They'll do more to protect, like, the Hawaiian seal or something than the Hawaiian people.
Well, you know? Yeah. Right. There's a legislature. They're still trying to make Hawaii a sovereign nation again, which will never happen. But there is that movement that is working diligently at preserving and bringing back tradition in the Hawaiian culture. And my sister, I have two sisters and two brothers who live on Oahu, and they are... My father lives on Oahu. My mother lives here. And she has her master's in Hawaiian studies. So she reads, speaks, writes, and she teaches. And she just had a baby on April 19th. And the middle name of the baby is like 28 letters long, and I can't say
it. Go ahead.
I don't have it in front of me. I could do it really.
That's
I could chop
Hawaiian.
It up. It is. I know, but she's not going to go by that 28, you know, one more than the American alphabet.
28 letters, and every one is up. There's always a vowel in between.
Well, there are 12 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet, yeah. And so
what's
the vowels and.
What's the fish? Official fish.
Humu. I don't remember.
Oh, no.
You know, we forgot your song. You picked a black hoo-hoo and brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah.
And that was there. That was before
was that from
Strange
the
Rhetoric.
All the
yes.
When he goes in that. That's official.
Yeah, they used to surf naked, and the missionaries got really tripped out on that.
Oh, that and the hula, which is a religion. I mean, that was the way that there was no written language.
And they
thought
they were kind of being lazy surfing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to put on work.
And put clothes on those heathen.
After Jack Flanders, we played Brad Lehner, who was that kid who grew up to a man that was next to me on the plane. So how you doing there, Brad? You got a buddy out there in Tokyo. Christopher. Yeah, so Hawaiian culture, it's a hard thing.
And some of those old school people in some of the valleys still don't have like social security numbers and stuff, huh? They're like still real Hawaiians living there.
Yep. There's a guy who, his name is Maui Loa, and he's really strong sovereignty. He used to be, I don't know about now, but his mother is pure Hawaiian. She's living in a Cadillac, like parked off North Shore someplace, and just living in her car off the side of the highway.
North Shore.
The Danes.
So that's still Oahu.
Right. Yeah.
On Oahu. There's a big difference between Oahu and the other islands, right? They're a lot more rural.
Right. And I've only been to the Big Island. I've only been to Hawaii and to Oahu. I've not been to any of the others. And I was born in Hilo. Oh, yeah? I would love to go there.
I heard Kauai is beautiful.
Yeah. But Hawaii is beautiful. The Big Island. Go to Big Island because there's so much. At one time, had the most species of flora and fauna anywhere in the world.
I was there 4 times because of gigs. There was some club made out of corrugated metal called The Wave.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a tiki hut kind of thing that Don Ho held residency at for a lot of years. But I climbed Diamond Head twice.
Oh, yeah?
And I went out, you know, the sand at Waikiki is from Santa Barbara, I think, because the beach is a lot of more coral, and when you get out in the water, there is no sand, and it cuts your feet up.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
And I went to the North Shore once. It was with Porto Papyrus with Perry. So we were staying in Turtle Bay, not too far, and I saw 30-foot waves. I couldn't, huge walls.
It's a strong
current. No one surfing.
Yeah, right.
Massive.
It's, you go in the summer and it's amazing because there's really no swell in the summertime on the North Shore, and you stand on that sand in sunset, like the Waimea sunset area, and you feel it, man. I mean, it's heavy, heavy,
there's
heavy.
No waves,
none. You feel
it.
That energy. It's so intense and incredible.
You can just imagine.
Yep.
It rains and it's all warm.
Yep, when you're out in the water swimming, I love those when it rains and when you're in the ocean.
Yeah, that's a trip.
I like being in the rain outside.
Great place to be.
It's really tiny.
It took me a long time to play there. I didn't get there till the 90s. Alaska was last, though. I think that was 2001 or 2, and I got to play Ketchikan. But that was when I played there. That was all 50 states.
Wow.
That was my question.
One time I did a fire hose tour where we did 48 of the states in one tour.
And how many days?
Provinces of Canada. Did 71 gigs in 73 days.
Yeah.
No, 71 gigs in 73 days.
What?
And 56 were in a row.
Oh, my God.
So 8 weeks were in a row.
All 48 states.
Should I ask? How many?
53 provinces. Yeah, not Hawaii. Contiguous. I think it was in 1991. And it kind of hurt Ed from Ohio. But it was interesting. Touring I've always enjoyed. And this last leg I did was hard with the time zone jumps. Like Japan's 14 hours from here. Europe is 8-9 hours. England's 8 hours. Europe's 9 hours. I mean, we kept swinging back and forth, so the time kept jumping. And first time I got sick in a while, and it was from bad water, or just water I wasn't used to. It was grinding my gut, and I didn't figure it out for 3 or 4 days. Man, I had nightmares during the day. And it was hard on me. It was hard. I couldn't do my treks like I usually do on tour. Also, we were in a gated golf course inside a gated community. We got one of these gated communities here in Pedro. Where the dispensary used to be?
Yeah,
of course. But it's got its own streets and its own security.
What street?
It's right up down here, down the Pacific.
Down the street. across from Fort MacArthur.
Next to the Harbor View, our oldest graveyard, the Harbor View Cemetery, that you cannot see the harbor. Maybe long, long time ago. But those days are past. You know, I played on this record called The Book of Knots, Train Eater. This is the second Book of Knots one. It's called Train Eater. And it's put together by the bass player from Perubu, Tony Mamone. And we played the song that I did, Pedro Cleveland. But this one's called Where'd Mom Go?
Japan to Motown, 7 miles to Fulton Street. There is the word unrehearsed, hungry for truth, not always found in the poetry scene. Without a musical backdrop to make your head get loose. Cause it's the words we speak leaking messages to and from our youth. Poetry shows how verse is always fundamental. In case you're still confused, this is not an instrumental. Poetry shows how verse is always fundamental. In case you're still confused, this is not an instrumental. This is not an instrumental. There's an apple ready to bloom and a flower waiting to die. Maybe's killing maybes and somebody knows why. In slavery we trust, complacent with nothing much. Eat your people's humanity over politics at lunch. I got a hunch you're gonna make it to the big time. We didn't create it yet, we think we have the right to desecrate the rhyme. With rights come responsibility. Bring the truth of the prophet's humility. You be killing me and killing you. And those other two that came with you who thought they knew. Around was talking about your silly crew. In lieu of all the death, there's soon be nothing left. But because of things we taught to the blind and the once deaf. Lyrics are already outlawed on major radio stations. Conversations are a fantasy and there's a chocolate candy named after the temptations. Follow me to where the music always plays. The bouncing ball is tripping because the world cares what you say. Lyrical police are unleashed as we try hard to say the least. So there's no such thing as silence before the peace. So there's no such thing as silence before the peace. Musical inflation on the rise, watch the voice increase. Keep me out your stores, I'll kick my poetry on the street. In my pants there is no crease. Academically elite, please take a seat. Welcome to the reality of the poor and the nameless. Too poetic to get famous. Stuck in a daily dose of zine, sitting on the broken knees of Uncle Ramus. Blame us, the hip-hop generation, for taking poetry back to where it started. Quarters of city blocks, rolling dice on a hill. In the alley, in your aunt's basement, at a protest in Harlem, prepared to be killed. It was about politics and courage and the integrity of being an artist. Sonya, Gil Scott, and the last poet still talk about it. From Japan to Motown, 7 miles to Fulton Street, there is a word unrehearsed, and always found the poetry scene. Without a musical backdrop to make your head get loose. Cause it's the words we speak, leaking messages to our youth. Poetry shows how verse is always fundamental. In case you're still confused, this is not an instrumental. My name is Grace and I'm married to hip hop. Buried in the slow sand, dirty by my knees, I draw with brown hands. Choke for air, breathe for no one unless a mic check. Turn off the light, raise my head, give it some love. It isn't here yet. Reach in my pocket, watch the real clock with my eyes closed. I hear the tick, I grab my bit, at least that's how the story goes. Traveling with full pockets, just trying to find my way home. But all I got is the sun, 2 pieces of lint, and 4 new combs. On my journey, there'll be many that I meet. Sit on the vibe, check the label closely for the other white me. I'll press delete, and a new poem begins. It's not a coincidence, without a princess, there is no prince. And Cinderella's left shoe has been missing ever since. She went commercial and thought she'd be better off alone. She drove herself to the mall, sold her carriage for tiny stones. Some call them diamonds, she traded them for blue eyes. And now when she blinks, shoes sound like lies. Some call them diamonds, she traded for blue eyes. And now when she blinks, shoes sound like lies. When I go home to Detroit, I love eating chili fries. And I hope that all this sounds written and rehearsed. When you think of poetry, please listen both ways before crossing the verse. Black girl juice can really heal you. It doesn't matter how big your words if the people can't feel you. It doesn't matter how big your words if the people can't feel you. From Japan to Motown, 7 miles to Fulton Street, there is a word unrehearsed and always found in the poetry scene. Without a musical backdrop to make your head get loose. Cause it's the words we speak, leaking messages to our youth. Poetry shows how verse is always fundamental. Poetry shows how verse is always fundamental. In case you're still confused, this is not an instrumental.
That was called This Is Not Instrumental by Silent Poets.
Featuring Jessica Care Moore.
Featuring Jessica
Care.
Kara.
Care.
Care Moore.
Moore. Three names?
Yeah, three names. She's a poet.
That's one you picked, Talia. What are Silent Poets about?
I believe they're a group from Japan. That's all I know.
They've been rapping. And Where's the Freedom before that by Noise Clinic, Flotsam and Jetsam, Martin Denny. You picked that, Sean?
Yep.
Why, it was sounds you heard growing up. Your pop was playing. Your pop's
my grandparents.
Name.
My
signed all, whose name is on the back of that sleeve?
My dad's name. So yeah. This was his vinyl. All of these are from my grandparents or my dad or my mom.
Did he steal their records?
They stole his.
They stole his.
Yeah.
So this who gets a beat down?
Probably my grandfather, okay. Because she's pretty hot.
Go get the bat. No, we don't believe it in any way.
No.
No, look at this. And then we started with Where'd Mom Go by Booker Poets. Now, you ladies have lived in SoCal a little while, huh?
Yep.
So what kind of music do you like that's local? Because people ask me about SoCal music, and I don't know what to tell them.
Well, that's one thing we have here is, like, anything can go, you know?
Yeah.
You can have any style, and there will be a niche of that group going around. And, you know, you can be into punk or into hard rock or...
Hip-hop
or glam rock.
Rush.
you're coming with me in September. New York. I won't take no. That's right.
Any classic LA band these days is Ozomatli.
Oh, yeah.
Great band. Ozomatli.
They take all the different flavors of your...
Yeah. Sure.
Make their own thing, group.
I mean,
yeah,
but don't...
Great band. I've done a bunch of gigs with them.
Yeah, but don't be blind by the fact that there's also other people that are doing different other things, too. Just because
so it's a very decentralized scene, you would say.
Yeah, you get everything.
Yeah.
You get everything. And some experimental stuff that you can't really categorize as well.
Yeah.
Like that dub lab.
Yeah, dub lab, exactly. They do
you know what?
Stuff.
Now that I think of dub lab, I think Dose went and played up at the radio station that they have above the garage in Silver Lake. There's a DJ named Frosty, and he had Dose play. And he was telling me about this collective situation where these guys do all kinds of wild stuff.
They're doing some shows right now, like every first Friday at the Museum of Natural History, the Natural History Museum. Like
wow.
The dinosaurs and stuff.
Yeah.
You remember that gig I did?
Yeah. That was
nice. A gig where people had to put on headphones.
Podcast.
You know about this?
Sonic
Theory. Just there with headphones, and I was playing in... Diorama, right?
Yeah,
it was like North American mammals.
Yeah.
And they come on, and I played
really
for 70 minutes straight by myself.
In the dark.
Notice how I worded that. In fact, I closed my eyes. In fact, I think I was last man standing, right? People had to come over and get me.
That's true.
They were into it, though. The museum people really liked
it. It was nice. That was a really neat experience.
Like every room had a different trip going on where you would play, but there's... playing over headphones. People would pick up the headphones, put them on, and check out what you were doing. Yeah, obviously improvised. You know. I just played bass. I got into it, and I was too afraid to look. And then, Sean, now you were in Orange County for a while, right?
Yes.
So you know the Adolescents? Mike Palm.
Agent Orange.
Agent Orange.
I grew up with those guys. Yeah. Scott Miller, the drummer, the original drummer, used to babysit me. Yep. And so all my friends were the Fullerton Punkers, pretty much. Hugh and Placentia. But.
Yeah, everybody's going to the
guys.
Picnic.
Steve
tomorrow,
Soda.
Right?
Soto. Greg
Steve
Antista.
Soda, right.
Mm-hmm.
Big man. Bass player.
Yep. I'm going.
He was a doorman at Linda's Dollhead for a long time.
Yeah.
So everybody's going to the picnic tomorrow in West L.A. There's a punk rock barbecue that Dave Childs, who runs Liquid Kitty, used to play drums for Lawndale, and he has this every year. And fortunately, this year, I'm here for a couple days, and in that window, I get to play it. So it's hard to talk about the L.A. scene as one thing, huh? It's really not. It's kind of like the town. It's just decentralized into all these little trips.
Right.
Yeah, balkanized, fragmented.
A little bit for everybody.
It's just required that you have open-minded.
That'd be good. See, there's really not a L.A. sound, huh?
Not really.
People would think Sunset Strip hair band, right, from the 80s.
Yeah. Periods of time, it seems.
But that's way minority. The bands are...
Yeah.
No.
Even in those days, most of the bands were like...
No.
Just because they hit commercial success doesn't mean that's the only thing that's going on.
Right. Beck's from here, and not everybody sounds like Beck.
Right. Yeah. And that's...
I used to love Team Firefest at Raji's all the time. I'd plan my... Yeah.
Earthquake Damage. Money Mark, I saw him in Naiba at the Fuji Rock Fest. He was playing four times. He was playing with Omar. He's got almost all the Mars Volta guys in his solo band. And he was playing his own thing. He's doing with the Beasties. I think the Beasties are coming to the World Tour next week.
Oh, cool. That's
and this kind of trip where they do instrumental.
Yeah, it's bitching out. I'm in the mix. Money Mark shredding on the Beasties.
Yeah, I was talking to Yauk and Nabe, and he was talking about this thing they do. Every few gigs, they do this gala where they don't break into the old tunes. They just do this instrumental. Mm-hmm. Singing.
Yeah, it's like that groovy lounge. Mm-hmm.
They kind of first checked it out with that Check Your Head.
Mm-hmm. In Sound from Way Out.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And what's after Check Your Head? The old Communication. There's a little bit of that
Song over
there.
Yeah, Sonka Jr.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they started out as a hardcore band. Mm-hmm. It was trippy. I was talking to a writer in Chicago, and he was had to interview, or he got to interview Daryl, Jennifer from the Bad Brains bass player. Mm-hmm. And I remember Yaga telling him he learned a lot of music watching the Bad Brains, and then he taught Harvitz. No, go on. Don't worry about that, because I'm okay. Wake up for that whiskey tip.
Okay.
So, Bad Brains just got back together. In fact, they're playing some cruise ship or some boat that sails around in the Hudson River or something. Can you imagine that, going to Bad Brain? Whose leash is yanking? Is that your yet leash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feel my leash. Your neck, you feel the choke. You feel the choke.
Some people like leashes.
Yeah, probably most. Well. But we're going to try to cure the world of that.
Dogs probably don't.
Not at all, huh?
Yeah. Sometimes, like,
you ever seen cats on leashes?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Actually, I would want one.
I tried. It does not work.
Cats don't.
They do not like leashes.
Well, you have to start them really young.
They
should
pull them.
Really young.
They don't have a choice. They're too young. We're done. They don't like leashes, and they don't like sand.
No.
They do.
They like litter, but they don't go to the beach. I mean, I don't mean it.
Oh, because they would walk.
I don't think they like big areas of sand bother their paws. There's some, because I tried to take my cats to the beach when I lived in Surfside, so or my cat at that time.
Cats all originate from the Egyptian ones, right?
Sandy.
Originated?
Yeah.
One time I was on tour and I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I woke up in the morning and there was a hairless cat in my sack.
Oh,
where?
Egyptian. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, where it's not warm.
The cat just showed up?
Probably crawled in there.
That'd be weird.
He was just a sack.
In your bag?
He had no hair.
What did you do with him?
Meow.
He was trippy. He had no hair.
Yeah,
he was a sack.
Weird looking.
Bones.
I like that.
Yoda looking.
You see the news about the cat that goes to the, it lives in the hospital, and it goes to the person who.
Person dies.
Dying later. Person. Yeah. The cat kind of have a niche on going to the person who's about to die and like go cuddle against them.
What?
So they start to predict the death of the patient. It's like old folks home.
In what country do they have
here?
Well, no, here, because you can, And they call, they'll call the family to let the family know that the cat is on your grandmother or whatever.
They're,
and they come,
they're having more and
that was
more
an interesting article.
Being bond with humans, older humans. Because this idea of just putting them out in pastures is...
Well, exactly. Leisure World in Seal Beach, up until 2 years ago, did not allow any type of pet whatsoever. And so my grandfather lives in Leisure World, and you have to go through a whole assessment, and then a lot of families just leave their parents there, and they don't have any type of interaction or whatever. So now they're allowed to have a little dog or a little cat, and then, but there's also a bunch of bunnies. In Leisure World, they're all over. Yeah, they're so cute.
And there'll
be more of them.
Charles de Gaulle
Bunnies,
Tons of bunnies were running all over the place.
Bunnies.
We used to have them at the dairy field. Huh?
Long Beach
Navy
City.
Navy housing? No, here.
Oh, okay.
They were jackrabbits.
Those
thing about jackrabbits is like...
Those are big.
I think we're running. Yeah, we're almost about done. But let me tell you this about jackrabbits. They're not going to run until you're right on them.
Right.
But then you just wait, because the dudes always make a huge ass loop and come right back.
What?
Yeah.
Because they're going back home to their little.
Yeah. And it's just some thing to get you out. Mm-hmm. And they can run. Oh, man, they can run.
That's why they're tasty.
You like grandma?
Coneo, the Spanish
sure.
word, right?
Coney
Island. That's where they raised them. It's an old England word.
Yeah, I know, I'm a hypocrite.
Totally. Some about their teeth, too. They'll grow through their heads. And
they had bunnies.
Oh, they you got to keep chewing on stuff. Huh?
Right.
They can't keep growing.
Not yet.
I know people who
will not eat cow anymore.
But the whole pet, the whole zoo thing, it's a trip.
What's
I think it'll be more fair when we start working with them in bands.
Mm-hmm. Animals in bands?
What?
Like the chimp with the symbol.
Oh.
Is that typical? You don't think it can happen? You ain't seen those chickens?
The real pipe.
Play the piano?
No problem.
Yeah. Let's see, what else could you do?
You can get
a dog that has a really big tail to be a drummer. Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, just make him really happy.
Yep. Just keep petting him. Smack that skin. Yep.
There was a dog that accidentally wagged a gun off a table and shot its owner.
Oh!
Did you see that?
I heard that.
That's horrible.
It was a few weeks ago. No, anyways.
I want to thank Sean, Talia, Pete, coming aboard, Brother Matt, for you always very
thanks
much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me. For me with this August 11, 2007 Watt for Pedro show. Thank you very much. I go off again, but I come back on the 20th. And so I'll do another show then, and I'll leave again for the last leg of Summer Stooges. So, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Aloha.
Keep your powder dry.